the Freedom Fiends. Yes. Yes, it is. And we have a trigger warning because it is the Freedom Fiends. We are broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technological tabulations, helping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty. Oh yes, can you feel it, Jim Babb?
Oh yeah, my senses are sacralized. What does that mean?
I looked it up once when I wrote it. I can't remember now because it's like 1 a.m.
All right, cool.
And my brain's still warming up.
I still approve. Awesome to be with you, Chandler St. Pierre.
Yes. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows use and reuse by everyone except government.
Stooges.
Yeah, we don't need any of them. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, how you been?
Awesome. Totally awesome.
Cool. Been a few weeks since I've been on.
Yeah, too long. So anyway, typically in Maine you guys hibernate in the winter, right? So it's
really hitting me lately.
Yeah. You mentioned though that you may have made the mistake of checking in with media and finding out that the world is on fire with political trumpery and
pretty much. it's okay, so like,
do you want to go back to sleep after checking that out?
I really did. Like, I've kind of been on media, you know, podcast, TV, like television news, reading articles, all that stuff has been on hiatus for the last probably 3-4 months. And for whatever reason, I decided to get back into it. And one of the first things I started doing was listening to some podcasts, some of which are older, like
Freedom Fiends.
Well, yeah, Freedom Fiends is a given. I started listening to the Scott Horton show a lot. Which,
oh, man, he's hardcore, isn't he?
He's great. I've always loved that, the socio-political aspects and that sort of thing.
I don't know how he contains all that information in his brain without exploding.
Yeah, it's tough because you've constantly got to be up on the up and up with that.
And he knows everything about every Middle Eastern country and conflict
blows my mind with that
and
stuff.
You know, because think of the people he spends his time with, the Eric Margolises and the other Scott Horton, and you know, just these heroic journalists and civil rights attorneys
We love all those cats at AnnieWar.com for sure.
Yeah,
so I started listening to that and that was cool you know, declare your independence. But then I started listening to some of the older podcasts I used to listen to in my minarchist libertarian days, you know. People I respect that I don't necessarily agree with, but, you know, I respect them because they have a lot of good insight. And I've just been astonished at how many of these folks, both in the alternative media and the mainstream media, are coming out with this mantra that Trump is the outsider and he's going to shake things up and he's a threat to the system, and that's why the GOP wants to shut him out. And as I'm listening to this, I'm shaking my head. It's just nonsense to me, because I know enough about how the system works to understand that you don't get to a position like President of the United States without being chosen by whatever you want to call it, the elite. You know, some people, you know, want to call it the Ooga Booga Men, the Illuminati, or, you know, some people want to call it
say the ruling class.
Yeah, you know? That's what it boils down to, the people that peddle the influence around the world.
And they all compete with each other to a certain extent, and it's not like there's this one unified team. So there's all kinds of evil interests, right?
Of course they do.
And he's just one of the competing evil interests for our wallets and our freedom, you know, so...
And the fact that they're pushing this line that he's an outsider and he's going to shake the system up,
really mean to be an outsider?
Outside of, well, like you hear, like he's outside of the Republican establishment, and they're all upset, and they're gonna, you know, try to kick him out like they did with Ron Paul. And to me, that's an insult to Ron Paul, because Ron Paul, for, you know, despite whatever flaws he may have had, he really did want to shake things up and educate people, and he actually talked about some really good ideas.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump, come on, no. And I mean, the guy has admitted, horrible. You know, he's like, oh yeah, I was watching the debates, I guess you call them debates, that the other night, where they were basically laughing and name calling.
It's like an infomercial for bigotry,
well,
ignorance, and xenophobia.
It's childish is what it is. Like, if you believe in the state and all this stuff, and you think that it's a serious and important thing, and the issues are what matter, you watch these debates where he's like, I mean, I'll grant you, it's pretty entertaining and it's pretty funny to watch, where he's like just slamming down.
So it's like people. it's like watching like kids fight on a playground, though. You know,
well, yeah,
like,
it's middle school stuff.
It's ridiculous.
And if you think that you know, he said himself, you know, I've funded liberal Democrat campaigns and Republican campaigns. I mean, that right there says, you know, he's been a part of this establishment his whole life. So
we've seen the pictures of him like drinking champagne, laughing it up with Bill and Hillary, right?
With
like,
Reagan, Bush. I mean, all these people.
The guy is a sucks up to power. That's been his whole career. So. Right. Yeah, but you know, I think there is this feeling that, you know, that the establishment is just forcing people out there. That's Hillary, it's Jeb. They're the machine, you know, generated cookie cutter candidates that were, you know, going to be, you know, people just realize that they wish there was something that wasn't that. They wish there was something that was going to challenge this ridiculous system. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be Trump or Bernie or Hillary or
and that's the on the other side of the coin, right? If Bernie was such an outsider, you know, feel the burn and all that nonsense, which that's what this whole campaign has boiled down to, is slogans. Like, you can feel the burn, you can move forward, or you can make America great again. And all of those slogans say absolutely nothing.
Well, that's the essence of politics, is being able to say things that mean nothing, and everybody's like, yeah!
I feel good! I feel... I got the feels! But, you know, even with Bernie, right? If Bernie was such an outsider, Bernie would have taken Hillary to court over the obvious vote fraud in Iowa and a few of the other caucuses and primaries. But he didn't. He's just there to suck more people in like the rest of them.
Which one?
Bernie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean,
right. Get everybody involved. Get those people involved that would, you know, just as soon, you know, wander off and, you know, join the Green Party or something. Get them back involved. Get them all supporting Bernie. Get them all riled up. Get them organized. Get their mailing lists. Get their fundraising lists. And then Hillary.
Yeah. When he backs out, when he gets, you know, that robbed or whatever you want to call it, when he leaves, they'll all go to Hillary. And you know, I was having a discussion with this guy today, and I was like, what are we in 1992 again? You know, we've got the Clintons running and we've got a millionaire, and history, it doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it goes in these kind of repeating cycles, these similar cycles. And I think you're going to see the same thing. And then people are going to be in an uproar and shocked and appalled. And it's like, well, you wanted this. By participating in this system, you're asking to get bent over. I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it. I know that sounds crass, but...
Now, wait a minute. I this is hot off the campaign news feed here, okay? This may challenge your belief. Now, this is a meme coming from the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Oh, yes, here we go.
And it says, I believe in love and kindness, period, and it's got her logo. And the this is from the Hillary Clinton Facebook thing. It says, "I know it sometimes seems a little odd for someone running for president in these days, in this time, to say we need more love and kindness in America. But I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, we do. We have to stand with each other." Blah blah. Oh
yeah, it's all bluster and nonsense. And you know the thing that makes me angry the most about political seasons in general, but this one. Now, you've got like these candidates talking about this nonsense, like the feels and how somebody's tan is spray tanned and how somebody's hands are too small, whatever. Do you hear anyone talking about the fact that America and Russia is upgrading their nuclear arsenals? Like, we can already kill the world 10 times over, but now the governments of the world want to be able to do it more quickly and efficiently. So, you know, they're upgrading their nuclear arsenals. Do you hear any of them addressing the water crisis in Flint, Michigan? The fact that diseases that have thought to have been extinct are starting to come up again.
And why are they more interested in military contracts than they are in contracts to upgrade water infrastructure?
Well, that's, you know, if you believe in, you know, government without government, who would build the roads and all that stuff? Essential services, I think, is what a lot of the status say now. That's a line I've seen a lot on Facebook. Okay, fine, you believe that. So why is the U.S. government stealing your money to upgrade the nuclear arsenal?
Well, because I'll bet you, if you look at those contracts, there's a certain component being made in all 50 states.
Of course there is.
And every congressional district gets a little piece of that. Well, and nobody cares whether the weapons will ever work or should be used or won't be used or could even go off.
Jet. Yeah.
All that matters is that it's paid for.
Somebody gets the big payout.
Yeah. And I mean, like, how many times have you seen Congress demand that the military use weapons that they don't even want? The military's like, no, that thing's too dangerous. Really, we don't want to fly that. You're flying it. Or more likely, you're buying it. Just go park it in the graveyard. Fine. Yeah. Right? But you bought it.
And we'll keep, and what you find is they'll make them buy these weapons from these defense contractors. Then they'll keep them in the basement, and then they'll ship them off to our supposed allies somewhere off in the world. Like, I believe we're shipping off 200...
You mean the Los Angeles School Board?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's exactly. True.
No, it is. It is. I mean, the local police and infrastructure is being militarized. But I mean, I read something today where we're sending like 250 bunker buster bombs to Saudi Arabia.
Hey, we're going to head out to the market. Be back with more Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at FIJA.org.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Well then, worms and such.
All right, we're back. So we're still talking about this Hillary meme, which I just think is, I don't know why it cracks me up so much. This "I believe in love and kindness" is her message.
Because it's so absurd.
Well, I was just trying to picture, like, the, you know, you know, Hillary is experienced, okay? She doesn't, like, things don't just happen randomly in her campaign, okay? So, like, this, there was a process. There's a committee. There was probably panels of experts and A-B testing, right? And but it started with a problem, right, at campaign headquarters. They're like, what are we going to do? Everybody says Hillary is lacking love and kindness. What are we? Give me some ideas, you know? Somebody's like, I got it. Put it on a meme. Say she believes in love and kindness. That's it. Yes. Get it on a meme. Get it out there. That's the way, you know, is that what they're thinking?
If you call that having a thought process, then yes, I think you're right on. Like,
well, you know, she's a little late to the meme war. I think we have to kind of give Bernie a little tip of the hat there. You know, if you're looking for a dank meme stash for Hillary, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, she's got all the old guard working for her.
Right. This is like an old guard style. Hey, we can be trendy memey too. You know, like
it's like the old people putting on jams and baseball caps backwards and Hawaiian shirts. You know, trying to sound cool, trying to look cool.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And again, that just illustrates the absurdity of this whole process, right? Like, people don't think she's kind and compassionate, so, oh, we'll just say she is.
And right, well, they conducted a study. They said, well, what are the top emotions that you think that people respond to favorably? And they got a list, and they said, okay, like, Hillary, which one of these can you emulate the most easily? And so they're trying, right, to have her simulate normal human emotions as best they can. But I'm sure it's not easy for her handlers.
You know, I'm just looking at pictures of all these people campaigning to rule us. And it's like, I don't want to be ruled, but if I'm going to have to be ruled, can I at least be ruled by a sexy young woman instead of like the Wicked Witch of the East and Colonel Sanders, and I didn't even know what Trump is.
Well, that's why I got married, but I'm not looking for that in a president. Okay, yeah. So.
But, you know, if I have to see this person on TV every other day, and if I have to hear this person's voice on the radio every other day,
right?
Can they at least be sexy and funny?
Why not?
And witty,
and why
and
not? Because when you think about it, these people are just spokesmouths anyway. Right. Yeah. It's not like there's any like actual ideas coming out of their heads. So if we're just going to be hiring stunt models and actors to play the parts of candidates, why not dip into the ones that are at least vaguely and they don't even have to be just like, you know, like hot. They could be like 8 feet tall or
interesting,
you know,
to look at.
Yeah. Just something going on there. I don't know.
I want Deadpool for president, man. I'm telling you. Did you see the new Deadpool movie?
I have not. Do you recommend it?
I recommend it, but I will tell you, don't bring your kids.
Well, Dorothy asked to see it. I was like,
how old is she?
She's about to be 14.
Well,
I watched the like Red Label trailer or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not really an age thing that I don't think is really appropriate. I'm just like, I don't know. I just figured I better see the whole movie and then.
Yeah, you
and I'm not going to tell her she can't see it. I'm just not necessarily going to be the one buying her ticket and driving her to the theater. So
yeah, it is hilarious. I've seen it.
Well, then maybe it's worth it. Yeah, like yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of scenes that are a little questionable. It's a little gory and violent, and the language, which is half the reason it's so hilarious. It's some of the lines he comes with are great, but you know, excessive vulgarity. But so yeah, why can't we have somebody like Deadpool for president? Like, get up to the White House podium and just start slamming people, you know, with these witty, horribly vulgar comments. I mean,
well,
that,
you know,
would
what?
Make the
no,
whole thing.
Well, and that would be really funny. That like, or sort of. Like, I'm thinking more like Triumph the insult comic dog, like,
yeah,
that, like, he would make a great president. But you know, what about somebody like Wolverine that just starts like gutting people?
Yeah.
That could be really cool too.
Yeah.
Hulk smash.
Yeah, I like that. Hulk would be the best. And if you think about it, there's a big similarity, because, you know, for all the words these politicians spew, they don't really say anything. So there.
Hulk smash.
Hulk, go to the market.
Make America great again. Hulk smash.
Hulk could say that. That would be great.
All right, back to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Retired postman has over 1,300 illegitimate children. He's an 87-year-old former postman.
He knew how to get the delivery there, so to speak.
Wow. I guess so. 1,300. Wow. Let's vote him for president.
Seriously. And you wonder why, like, dogs bite these guys, because this dude was obviously, like, making the rounds.
So did you hear the big Super Tuesday news?
Super Tuesday. Was that where the Super Bowl was? What is that?
That's when idiots stand in line out in the cold to go and do voting stuff.
Super Tuesday.
But there's some big news in the democracy and voting movement. Vermin Supreme has decided to ditch the Democrats, and he's seeking the Libertarian nomination.
Yes. And yes. I am so excited about that. And, you know, the reason is I want the best for the Libertarian Party. You know, sometimes we make fun of them, but I really want the best for them. And I think they've been really struggling to get a candidate that sort of brings the right level of dignity to the process. I think Vermin could really be that candidate. He's qualified. He's highly experienced. He's well-versed on the issues. He's got a lot of great solutions, and different from the regular libertarian solutions, like funding time travel to go back in time to defeat ISIS. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great, right?
He's got the mandatory teeth brushing policy. I don't know how they're going to enforce that, but I'm sure it'll be great.
What? And, like, who's not for teeth brushing, you know? Yeah. Seriously.
And
so, yeah, that's good.
And hey, a pony for everybody? How can you
mandatory
be opposed to that?
It's mandatory ponies for everybody too. And I think you're going to have to, like, you may be required to show your pony at checkpoints and things, but at least you'll have a pony. So,
well, and you know, he's a friendly fascist. He's not like a mean fascist like Donald Trump. He's a friendly fascist. And
I think let's face it, we're going to end up with a fascist.
So we might as well have a friendly one.
Yeah. So we're just picking the lesser of three fascists. And Vermin, I've met Vermin at Pork Fest. He's a trooper. He's an entertainer. He's dedicated. What a great opportunity for the LP to finally get a serious candidate.
This is from his Facebook page. Today, in a calculated fashion, I am renouncing my membership in the Democratic Party. After polling at 5% in the recent International Students for Liberty Conference in D.C., that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I am now actively seeking the nomination of the Libertarian Party. I look forward to my exclusion from their debates.
Well, I hate to disappoint Vermin, but I know for a fact that there is a presidential candidate debate coming up in Philadelphia on March 19th, and he is definitely invited.
Awesome.
Absolutely invited, and we would be honored to include him. And I had to, we just had to bump Austin Plagerson. So he got bumped to make room for the more serious candidate.
Did you see the video of Vermin Supreme trolling Ted Cruz at one of the campaign rallies?
I don't know if I did or not, but I'd love to see that because that could be some classic material.
Oh, it was great. He was right up in Cruz's face, and Cruz has just got this look on his face like, oh my God, what do I do? He's screaming in his megaphone, Ted Cruz, come out with your hands up and your pants down. See, he's so great.
This is exactly the level of dignity that the process deserves, right? It's like, you know, and people love it. People love it. So,
well, you know, people will sit there and denounce Vermin Supreme and say he makes a mockery of the system. And I'm like, really?
He's the one making a mockery of the system?
Have you watched the mainstream debates?
Yeah, and it's not the superdelegate system that's going to clinch Hillary the win, even if Bernie gets more votes. making a mockery of the system.
No, not at all, because that's part of the system, and they know better than us little people. So
changing the convention rules or prescripting the conventions to make sure that candidates like Ron Paul don't get a voice, is that making a mockery of the system? No, or is putting a boot on your head?
Yeah, the whole thing, I don't know. I just don't see how people get so worked up. Like, you can boil it down to one thing, and you're getting worked up to choose somebody to rule over you.
Right.
You know, when I was listening to one of the podcasts I like, they have this, you know, we must take America back, this country song, whatever, feel good nonsense. And one of the lines is, we need leaders who lead us. And I'm like, why do you need a leader? Like, why can't you lead yourself?
We need a slave master that's not afraid to whip us.
Yeah.
We're tired of these wussy slave masters that don't whip us enough. Yeah, we need a slave master that can get slaving done. We want to get her done. Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, suspend my disbelief as I'm listening to this stuff. I just can't do it. I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so bad, so dirty.
Well, when you drive past, like, a highway accident, I mean, you kind of look to see what the wreckage is, right? You kind of imagine yourself in that wreck and you're like, what did they do that I didn't do? And it's not that you're, you know, it's not cruel to want to see what happened. And I kind of look at that, like, you know, Hillary and Trump and Bernie in the same kind of, you know, morbid curiosity, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that is what it. I don't know. I
mean, well, and it's also a measure of our culture, you know, so to speak, to the extent that, you know, or it's a measure of those that participate in it. And it is a little bit disturbing to me when I see the openness of the hatred and the bigotry coming out of somebody like Trump. And this is applauded and taken seriously as a main, you know, because sure, these things were always there, but they used to have to keep this stuff under the surface.
Right.
Now and they lead with it. Now it's their big selling point. Like, look how hateful we are. Look how brutal we are. Look how, those are the traits now that people are like, yep. Yeah.
Well, it's a sign of the times. And you know, I don't want to be one of those libertarian anarchists that is like, oh, I just can't believe you buy all this stuff and I'm so much better than you because I don't. But like, I watch all this unfold and I'm just like, why do people think that this is good? Why do people think that it matters, for one? This is all just a sideshow. Like I said, there are real issues that everyday people are talking about that are not getting mentioned in the mainstream and in the political discourse. So why do you think participating in this system is so wonderful?
It's, you know what, if you believe in, I mean, think of it as mythology. Okay, like, why do people embrace mythology? You know, what is it, these stories of fanciful heroes and gods battling good and evil, right? These stories have always fascinated people, and they've always led them to want to worship them. and to participate and to be a part of this something that's so much bigger and more important than their individual mundane lives. So, well, I mean, maybe that trait has always been in, you know, sort of lurking in humanity, ready to be exploited by people like Hillary or Trump.
That makes pretty good sense, actually. I guess I get it. I mean, I told you during the break, I've been reading, I've kind of been recapturing my childhood, as it were. I've been reading a lot of comics lately, and, you know, the superheroes, the Avengers, and Captain America, who, by the way, I used to think Captain America was square, but if you're keeping up with the new Captain America, he is not square at all. He, you know, and I think we'll see that in the Civil War movie. But, you know, I get it, you know, that sort of escape and everything, but it's fiction. Well,
so were the Norse gods, but people really got into it, right? So were the Greek gods, but people really got into it, right? So were, you know, so many other religions have these mythical figures, the Egyptian pharaohs, right? It's just been a continuum of these people that are worshipped as gods, bowed down to, obeyed, paid tribute to. They create rituals in their honor.
It seems to me like it's an abdication of personal responsibility. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm this paragon of virtue and I get everything done that I need to get done, but, you know, is some politician going to come and fix my roof? Or the fact that you know, the sewer runoff doesn't work well in my area and we flood a lot, you know, they're not fixing that stuff, so it falls upon me and the people in my community to fix that stuff. Why would I abdicate that responsibility to anyone else? You know,
well, it might be sort of reassuring to go back to it like an infantile state, where you no longer have the stress of survival.
Well, right? That is it. I think you're definitely onto something. And that's where I differ from, like, the people that are all into the political system. Like, I get it. I need support. I am, no man is an island, and I'm no exception. There are a lot of things that I just can't do on my own. But I look to friends and family and to a smaller extent, local, you know, people in my local community, for that sort of support and that, what's the word I'm looking for? Valuation or whatever, you know, to feel validated. I look for people where it's more real. I don't look for some guy in the Capitol building in Augusta or the Capitol building in that horrid swamp, D.C., you know? So, I don't know. I just,
well, you know, everybody has their own sort of rituals and things that I guess they do. And, you know, and let's face it, how many people that are voting went to government school?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I mean, but it's really important to them that people participate in this system. I mean, you even have people like, remember Obama suggested, but maybe we should look at mandatory voting.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, but it's telling, though. Why is it so important to the ruling class?
Because it validates them. And that's the thing. Like, I hate to use the term the people, but the people have so much more power than they realize. Like, the internal machines, the bureaucracies of government, yes, you have ruling elites and power elites that dictate policy. But who oils those everyday gears and mechanisms and the machines of government? It's average everyday people.
Right. It's slave enforced slavery most of the time.
Right. And if enough people just decide, you know, you don't have to stand up and do armed rebellion and all that nonsense like they did out west.
Just stop helping the slave master.
Yeah. Throw a monkey wrench in. Sabotage.
Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
So, there's been an interesting development on the encryption front.
A key front. Tell us
key
more.
Front. Well, as you know, or may or may not know, the FBI recently had demanded that Apple decrypt an iPhone from one of the San Bernardino shooters.
Well, not just decrypt, but write a new operating system to circumvent the hardware anti-tampering devices, right? So
yes.
Basically create a master key that could open every single, like hundreds of millions of iPhones. So
yeah, it wasn't just for that phone. It's like,
it's not just help us get some data off of here. It's help give the government access to every single iPhone. And even though at first they tried to spin it as, no, it's just going to be for this phone, the FBI later admitted they had a list of like 170 other cases that they could start applying this to if Apple did it. Okay.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and in the court proceedings, Apple had stated that, you know, once the floodgates are open, they can't be closed. And it's so true. Like, you can fault Apple with a lot of things. I'm not going to get into the Apple, you know, which is better, Mac or PC. But I will credit them with the fact that their encryption on their machines and their operating systems, they have worked very hard to make it strong, to keep people's privacy intact. And it's not because they're this benevolent company. It's because that's what the market is demanding. More and more people are wanting to have stronger privacy controls for their, you know, their phones, their computers.
Well, you know,
and
I think everything. That speaks well for, you know, for humanity, that encryption, there's a market demand for encryption. That means people are learning.
Yes. Right? That is a definite light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So, as far as I can tell, in the initial reading, is that a court, probably one of the lower circuit courts, has upheld Apple's side of the argument.
So Apple said, no, we decline, basically.
Right. And
now, keep in mind also that phone, they could have had access to all the data backed up on the cloud if the FBI hadn't intentionally changed the username.
Right. They basically tried to get into the phone without following the proper protocols, and it reset the phone. So, yeah.
Right. And a conspiracy theorist, I'm not saying I would, you know, I don't know how much weight I would put to this theory, but was there something on the phone that maybe could have incriminated the FBI? Right. Well, let's think. How many terrorist attacks throughout the country have had a lot of FBI involvement? Usually just sort of kind of, you know, these manufactured terrorist things.
Yeah, they recruit them and set them up and then bust them to make their numbers look good. I mean,
so
that's not
is
even
it really that hard to, you know, that much of a stretch of the imagination to think that maybe FBI was involved with, you know, with that. With those criminals,
right,
trying to promote, you know, push them into doing something, and it got away from them, right?
And it got away from them, but then they see it as an opportunity. Never let a good crisis go to waste, right?
Right. So they lose, win or lose. They want to expand their power and can use it as a justification.
And there's an article on the freethoughtproject.com. It's called "They Can Already Hack the iPhone." And the FBI's public display is just propaganda to sell you the police state. And I've said this for years. Like,
well, I guess it depends on what level you're talking about. I think there's different, you know, I'm sure somebody could. John McAfee said, hey, let me and my friends, we'll decode
it. We'll get into it, yeah.
But, you know, he could do that right now. But he's going to use social engineering, Okay, but social engineering, that's different than hacking it, really, you know, like a hardware hack.
Yeah.
Like a brute force hack.
But this is nothing. So. People are all up in arms about this, as they should be. But this is nothing new.
So it got to court, though, already? This is like, okay, so the some guy in a robe said...
Well, the article, I'm going to have to bring up a few more. But
the judge said, you're okay, Apple, you don't have to do it?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
But I guess it's still ongoing, and the FBI is still, you know, they're going to appeal this. They're going to take it as far as they can go.
Just assume FBI is going to have access to your phone.
Yeah, well, and you should.
Use it accordingly.
In the modern police state, you should assume that all your transmissions are being recorded and monitored and act accordingly.
Yeah.
Worms. All right, so we'll be back for hour two
of the Freedom Fiends.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Morning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Lower Red Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Worms.
All right, Chandler, St. Pierre.
Yeah, so
I'm Jim Babb.
We have to make a clarification from the last hour's show. We were talking about Apple and its court battles over encryption. And I had said that there was a development in the San Bernardino case, and that is not true. There was a ruling in favor of Apple, and it came from a New York federal judge in Brooklyn who ruled that Apple did not have to unlock an iPhone in a drug case. So it didn't have to do with the San Bernardino. So, but it does bolster their arguments towards that. So it's good news. You know, it's good news. It's not.
Hey, law enforcement really wants to get into your phone.
Yeah.
Seriously. One of the things Tim Cook mentioned in his interview with the state mouthpiece on ABC was the fact that he said, you know, people have more personal information on their phones than they do in their homes.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? This is
that's possible. That really is possible.
I had said in the last hour or two that they can already hack into your phones, and I'll go into that in a little bit. But you know, I remember as far back as 2010, there was a big kerfuffle that came out. Apparently, I don't know if you're aware of this, but local law enforcement all over the country, there's a program where they go to Israel and they train with IDF agents to learn how to
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Yeah, yeah, right? To train how to be more militaristic. And I guess there's a firm or something. I don't know if it's part of the government out there in Israel or it's a private firm or whatever, but they have a software. It's a hardware-software combination where they can just plug your phone in and download all the contents. And
does that still work, though? See, that was a few years ago, and I thought they had upgraded the defenses.
Well, Yeah, and that I'm not exactly sure, but I know that local police departments still have that technology available to them. So if in fact that they are still using it, that's why it's even more important for Apple to win this lawsuit. You know, it's a right to privacy, a Fourth Amendment issue, if you will, whatever. So, you know, we were talking about how they can already hack your phone. And there's an article on the Free Thought Project, FBI hack phone already. Just Google that and you'll find it. And it's a very delicate process. It involves, you know, lasers and acids and physically breaking into the phone, but they can get it, access to your data. And I remember back in, and oh, big surprise, guess who came out in favor of the government's argument on this issue? Can you take a guess?
Bill Gates.
Exactly. That crooked son of a gun. I don't like him at all.
Well, who's his best customer?
Yeah, the government.
Oh, but, gee. And surprisingly, he agrees with his best customer. Surprise. Yeah.
But there was a big, big controversy back in 99, I believe it was. There was a couple of hackers, or I don't even know if they were hackers. I think they were just software programmers, were mucking around with Microsoft 98, and they found an NSA backdoor in the operating system. And at first, the initial reports were that it was a fraud and it was a publicity stunt, but then the NSA did come out and say, yeah, we've had this backdoor in the Windows 98 OS since it came out.
And no surprise there at all.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and I wouldn't be surprised if Apple, behind the scenes, is perfectly willing to cooperate with the government over and over and over again. You know, I think maybe this time, for some reason, the FBI went super public with this instead of just kind of working their back deal, their backroom deals.
Exactly.
It's kind of weird that way.
That's where they made the mistake, because like I said in the first hour, there's a market demand for this sort of encryption and protection of privacy.
Yeah, now, and I think your like modern iPhone now is much better defended against the highway bandit who's going to like grab it, plug in his device they used to have, and just copy over everything.
Yeah.
So,
Apple's operating system has always had like FileCrypt and all that default in their operating system.
What you need is, you know, we should probably find like a, maybe you could modify this, is to actually create a self-destruct in your phone.
It's called a giant magnet.
But no, have it like if you don't enter the right passcode, after like so many tries, it actually just like incinerates and like takes out whoever's, you know, doing it.
Yeah, and you're right, we do need it. I know there's a, you can have your insurance card digitally on your phone now, which is very handy because my insurance company.
Oh, could you imagine handing that to the cop on your phone? Like, here, look, I've got insurance. It's on my phone now. And handing it to the cop.
Well,
I've had a cop snatch my phone.
Yeah.
It just it was at a stop, and I was filming him. I had made the mistake. I was in Jersey for a rescue mission, and I was filming the cop. And he like snatched it, and I just reflexively just snatched it back really quick. Thank God.
I had the same thing happen to me. I've talked about it on our show. I got pulled over with a bunch of people on the side of the road at a very late hour one night, and I started recording, and the cop did that. Yeah, but there's a new app that basically you can bring up that picture of your insurance, but lock the screen so no matter what they do.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what would be even better is if it's like secretly like doing audio recording while it's going on, because we get funniest stuff on phones that are cameras that they think they've turned off and they take back to the car or to the station. It could be hilarious.
I have seen on some of the Reddit and subreddit threads there is an app like that. It's either in development or it's out there. It's not in the Play Store. They won't do that, but it's out there for download.
So, I was involved in an incident with some federal marshals, and they had confiscated cameras with my friend George Donnelly. They just tackled him and ripped the camera out of his hands and took him into custody for, you know, assaulting them while videotaping them, evidently. His audio recorder was stayed on, and they kept recording for hours. in like when they had the stuff in custody and I could hear the stuff they were saying about all of us. It was very interesting. And like they weren't even smart. They had erased a lot of the video. But that was recoverable. They didn't even bother to erase the audio, or they couldn't even figure out how to do it. So
I don't know if there's a regular micro SD card, but there is a company that makes SD cards for recording devices that will, it has a built-in Wi-Fi in the card, and it'll automatically start streaming whatever you're recording to an off-site. And that is very, I know it was really popular during the Occupy movement. A lot of people were using that. So,
yeah. Well, you should always live stream encounters with government employees. Because you never know when, you know, that could be that could be the thing, that could be your last video. You know, that could be determined whether the cop that kills you, you know, gets a raise or goes to jail. So,
yep, that's it. So, we were also talking in the last hour about my unfortunate reintroduction to mainstream and alternative media, and how people think that Trump is outside of the establishment, and many people that I actually have a lot of respect for are singing praises of Trump, like he's honest and he's going to shake the system up, blah blah blah. Well,
what do they know about him though?
Well,
before they say this kind of stuff,
they know his sordid past, but they seem to
Do they know he wants to have a registry of Muslims?
Yeah, exactly.
And that there should be a lot of systems beyond databases. We should have a lot of systems concerning registering Muslims. Okay. Yeah. No, they thought he misspoke. Then he clarified it. Goes like, no. Yeah, I'm serious.
And the Japanese internment during World War II comes to mind.
Right. He doesn't look at that as he looks at that as just the kind of stuff that you have to do when you're president.
Yeah, to keep America great. I guess that's what will make America great.
His supporters love this kind of bigotry, and you know, basically it is fascism. You know, when you're talking about rounding people up, but we both independently came across that article. It's funny, it's because this article was actually from December, but I guess it just made the rounds again on Facebook from Foundation for Economic Education, waking up to the reality of fascism.
Oh, yes.
And it's a really interesting article. And I guess kind of my takeaway from it was just highlighting the fact that, you know, there's this common, sort of the common model is, you know, fascism versus socialism or communism. And it's like, you know, one extreme or the other extreme. But this is really pointed out that fascism is more just the inevitable outcome of socialism. And socialism fails and it sort of opens the door for a guy like Trump. Trump is now going to be blowback for the failures of, you know, the previous style socialism. Now we're going to get his style, fascist socialism.
Yeah, and they're one in the same. I think during the break we were talking and you had mentioned that it's the inevitable outcome because socialism doesn't work. And then once it fails, people clamor for more. And you need a more authoritarian type of socialism. Or
right.
You think you do.
Why isn't it working? Well, we're not doing it hard enough, I guess. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know? Right, because, you know, when socialism fails, most of the population, they don't understand why it failed, because it's always blamed on, oh, it's the droughts. Oh, it's some other country. Oh, it's the immigrants. Oh, it's, you know, it's never the politician going, well, I centrally planned the economy. I totally screwed it up and a bunch of you starved to death. That's never something you hear them say, is it?
No. Well, and it's really telling that, you know, when you talk about Trump registering Muslims or barring them from coming in or whatever, internment camps, he cites FDR, that horrible, horrible
the liberal
man.
Hero. The yeah. liberal hero. Right? No, isn't he the guy that, don't they actually use his face on some popular, like, liberal Facebook page?
Yeah, I got kicked off that page a couple years ago for
I think it's one of the first ones that like libertarians like to get kicked off of for trolling.
It's called being liberal. Oh yes. Oh, yeah. Go troll. Well, you can't troll. Like, I didn't even try to troll that site. Like, I went on. They were talking about Social Security, and I just pointed out some facts, and I was very respectful. I was like, you do understand, because I know a lot of the people on that page are younger.
That's not going to fly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they posted some message. We don't tolerate this sort of hate speech, blah, blah.
And by hate speech, they mean you posting articles about FDR's internment camps.
Right. And we're out.
By that WikiLeaks article.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Beans. Too busy talking. Do a talk radio. Something like that.
We're the most professional Freedom Fiends.
Yes. Well, you're undertaking an interesting something or other, right?
Are you talking about my show clock program idea?
Yeah. I'm lost now.
I'm going to try to build a show clock thing that'll just kind of work on our computer and just let us know when we should stop yapping and go to a commercial break. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's so hard. Like, we were talking about this during the break. Many of us have come from a podcasting background where we just yak and yak and yak. And when you're on the radio, you have to follow a certain format. And,
despite, get so into such interesting topics that, sometimes the time just disappears. Like, I can't believe we're going to a break because we just came out of a break. So,
right. And, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump's fascism and how he
transcends time and space. Yeah. So it's no wonder that we get disoriented and lose our grip on reality.
Well, in the last segment, I don't know how far we got, but, we were talking, you know, Donald Trump cited FDR's precedent, you know, for interning Germans, Italians, and Japanese people. And we were talking about the Facebook page that loves FDR, and it's called Being Liberal. And I had mentioned that it was something to do with Social Security, and I wasn't even trolling the page. I just posted a response that was very logical and thoughtful and not disrespectful. And, you know, I got banned from the page, and they sent me some message that they don't support this kind of hate speech or whatever.
Right. What you should do, I think the fastest way to get banned from the Being Liberal Facebook page is to just post a wiki article about those Japanese internment camps. Right?
Yeah.
Just purely factual, educational. No, we're not going to tolerate that. No.
No. No. You can't denigrate our hero. Oh. You know, I posted a meme on Facebook. It's, what's the guy that does South Park? Is it Trey Parker, and is it Matt Stone? I don't know, one of them.
Sounds like it. I'm drawing a
blank. Yeah, yeah. And I think it was the Matt guy. And he's like, I something hate conservatives, but I really something hate liberals. And I was like, yeah, I'm kind of that bent, too. I mean, I just don't like statists to begin with. But, you know, if I was to choose which one irritates me more, it's definitely the liberals, because there's absolutely no logic in their thought processes at all.
So, well, yeah. And it's just so annoying. And this, you know, the fact is that, you know, the liberals have laid the groundwork to make Trump possible.
Yes.
Right. Like, he's going to build on the work of FDR. Yep. He's going to look at he's going to take the worst of presidents going back throughout history. And then he's going to go to the next logical step on anything he wants. You could see from the flippant way he talks about issues that he literally thinks that he is going to be the ruler. He talks like he's going to be the ruler, what he can do, what he's going to do to those other people, you know. Make them pay.
Well, I mean, think about who you're talking about, Mr. You're fired. You know, I'm the boss. He had that reality show, right?
Yeah, I think his political character is based on that character.
It really is. Well, I saw a great meme on Facebook the other day that said, I think America is just a reality TV show, and we're in our last season. And I couldn't agree with that more. I really
It's didn't. Always seems that way, but it's not. On that, you know, that article that we pulled out from the Foundation of Economic Education, it had a Hayek quote. It says, the rise of fascism and Nazism was not a reaction against the socialist trends of the preceding period, but a necessary outcome of those tendencies, right?
So yes, and that was
really
from the
where
book.
We're at right now. I think we're getting into this is the necessary outcome. It's the inevitable.
It's the natural evolution.
Yeah. So
and not, that quote was from Hayek's book, The Road to Serfdom, which I highly recommend. Even before I got into the libertarian anarchist bent that I am on now. That was kind of the book that really, it was that and Boston Tea Party's Hologram of Liberty. Those are the two that really, really got me over. The Road to Serfdom kind of got me more into the Austrian economics side of things. But it was a tough read, you know, coming from my public school indoctrination and being a good conservative Republican and all that stuff. It was a little bit of a hard read, but once I got through it and I started, you know, looking up the footnotes and all that, it was like, wow. So yeah, go to the market and check out The Road to Serfdom.
Right on. It. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Close the last segment talking about Donald Trump. All you really need to know about the guy is, I don't know if any of you cats out there have heard of Trumpery, but if you go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary and look up Trumpery, the definition is worthless nonsense, or useless articles.
Yeah, I think that supports my theory that his whole campaign is just a trolling op, for the lulls by the ruling class, which was getting really bored, and they're like, let's see what they'll put up with.
Yep.
You know, it was like a bet some guys made, like over brandy and cigars. Like, I bet you I can get them to believe that a guy named Trump, we're going to take all the worst plays from FDR to Mussolini, and we're going to build a character around it, and I'll bet you folks are going to love it.
Yep. I actually buy that argument. I think that's totally it. It's going to split the vote and
the other person said, I think that's Trumpery. No, that's Trumpery. That's it. We'll call him Trump. And the troll off was born.
Yep. And there you have it. I actually, a lot of people I've talked to think Trump's going to be the next president. I still think it's going to be Hillary. But either way, we're doomed. So Bernie Sanders has got a new beer, and all you need to know is it's 3.2% alcohol, and it probably tastes like garbage, and it won't.
Well, is it Bernie's own beer? Is it a Bernie themed beer or a Bernie flavored beer?
Isn't it a Bernie themed beer?
It tastes like Tinkle.
Yeah, and it has low alcohol content, yeah. And it won't.
Well, why would you possibly need so many beer choices when kids are starving? I don't understand.
Right. Well, and isn't that kind of hypocritical? Isn't that like the guy that was complaining about too many deodorant choices, and now there's a beer named after him?
Exactly. And this is the Bernie themed beer. It's from Burlington. Okay.
Of course.
From it's from Zero Gravity, and which I don't.
They don't have a lot of good beers, honestly.
Yeah. Now they got to go for this kind of. Maybe they can get Bernie people to buy their beer this way, but. I don't know. You know,
I think
the Alchemist, which is an actual great brewery in Vermont, they endorsed Bernie like a long time ago. So they're all a bunch of commies in Vermont. They love, they, even the ones that brew good love Bernie. So
yeah, well, and I don't know. They should have made the choice of alcohol content a little stronger, because I think you have to be really drunk to go and vote for Bernie Sanders.
Well, see, no, the 3.2% is perfect for maximizing worker productivity in the factory.
Ah, that's what it is.
You can't. What do you think they're going to get? Some kind of 10% beer? That's anarchy talk.
That would be why I had that 10% at Porkfest that night of karaoke. Oh, you weren't there that year. Oh, that was something else.
Well, I was at Porkfest, but I probably avoided the karaoke. So
yeah. Okay, so we came across an article. Autonomous weapons are more dangerous than you think. This is off ubergizmo.com.
Interesting.
And there's this cat, Paul Chare. He's a former Pentagon official who played a role in establishing the nation's policy on autonomous weapons. And, you know, we're talking like drones that fire Hellfire missiles and that sort of thing. And he's become very critical of these weapons, stating the obvious, I must say, saying that they're susceptible to design failure. Just think of the $1 trillion the United States government has spent on the F-35, and it can't even outperform its predecessor, the F-16.
The important thing is that it's built in every congressional district.
Yep. Yep. Oh, and as a side note, for all of you people that think Bernie Sanders is so anti-war, he was critical in implementing funding for the F-35 because it brought, I think it was weapons contracting jobs to his district. It was either that or a military base or something to do with the F-35. So he's not anti-war. He's just a shill like the rest of them. So anyway, this guy talks about, you know, aside from design failure, there's the problems of hacking and spoofing and manipulation by the enemy.
Well, and just poor quality. First of all, the quality going in for government work is really not that, you know, legendarily great.
Yeah, okay. It's overpriced, you know, because they have all this printed money that they can throw at any policy or any project, and they don't really care about the quality or the timetable for which it's developed. There's no market controls in this.
Yeah.
So
There's some other people have reported other articles on this report. I'm seeing a thing that says they that there were 8 new F-22 fighter jets experienced total computer failure when crossing the international dateline.
Yep.
Okay. That sounds like government programming, doesn't it?
That's kind of a big deal, too. I mean, you have this billion-dollar piece of hardware with these horrible, horrible weapons meant to maim
and let's face people. It, our military is constantly crossing, or I didn't say our military, the U.S. military is constantly crossing international datelines as it goes around the world bombing, you know, brown people on every continent. So yeah. It's not like they never thought there would be a dateline crossed.
Yeah, no,
those everywhere.
Those jets are for domestic use only. You know, those are going to be put down right. The peasants that rise up in this.
Right, those were meant for the Los Angeles School Board. We never suspected they'd be used abroad.
Yeah.
So, but well, it's, you know, and I don't know. I don't really. What's the worst that can happen? They're making these systems. I mean, to me, what the scary thing is that right now they still have to, you know, when the rulers decide to kill people, they have to order other people. And another person has to look at that other person and decide whether they're going to kill them or not. There's a trigger puller. Those people are pulling triggers, thinking about it. And they figured out that, you know what, if we can remove them physically and kind of change their environment, we could put that pilot in a bunker in Kansas. He could fly a drone, but he's still pulling a trigger, right?
Well, and the next step that really, it's not mentioned much in this article, but people like Stephen Hawking have talked about it. The next step is AI, artificial intelligence. And if you know anything about artificial intelligence, its learning process is derived from what it's programmed to do initially, and then it evolves. So if you have this horrible military contracting entity that's programming this AI to kill the enemy, what happens when the AI develops? And I mean, you know, I'm not talking Terminator style, but it's a slippery slope to go down.
Well, it's going to start with something like this. It's going to start with a camera, and it's going to say, if you read every license plate, you know, down below. Okay, and it's this camera could easily scan tens of thousands of license plates, you know, per hour. And then it could say, okay, if you detect this particular license plate, perform a certain action, right?
Right,
right. And what that action could include would be launching a missile. Okay,
well, yeah,
it's not that hard to imagine them making that choice. I don't know how that works with their engagement protocols, but I believe right now it requires a person to do it. And that is probably a weak link that infuriates them.
Well, and it can go from there. You know, first it starts with the license plates. Then it starts with, okay,
facial
does this person have facial recognition, which is very flawed? Or does this person have a bumper sticker on their car that is, anti-government or subversive?
Right. It doesn't have to be flying overhead. It could be just like, you know, police cars have, or they're, it's all about license plate readers now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So more and more and more license plate readers are everywhere. It's going to be pretty much impossible to avoid them now, automatically scanning your car. So what is that going to do? What actions could that trigger as your car is, you know, identified? What if they say, you know what, hey, if you could start creating rules, say, if these two cars, you know, end up in the same parking lot, trigger an action, because that means a resistance cell is having a meeting, right? Pierre, you know, so... you know, Chandler St. Pierre and Jim Babb's car spotted together, like, you know.
Uh-oh, there's trouble.
Right.
Can you imagine what would happen if those systems were deployed at Porkfest?
Well, what makes you think they're not?
Well, yeah, there you go.
The history of warfare is sort of a history of getting soldiers to kill people they don't want to kill. Right.
Yeah.
Like if you look at, like, you know, the Civil War, they do like these archaeological historical digs, and they'll find like somebody kept shoving ammunition into their gun, like multiple magazines. Why? because they were wanted to appear to be engaged in combat and they didn't want to shoot anybody.
Right.
Or they would, and you know, Vietnam, they just, it was very common to just shoot over people's heads. Nobody wanted to kill these other, you know, people they didn't even know. It gets harder and harder. So they developed better techniques. In each war, they got better at getting soldiers to kill other strangers. And they developed psychological techniques, technological techniques. You know, it's a continual process. Right now, it's really pretty good. Those guys that go over there are ready to kill. And they do, generally. But there's still a weak link. What if you could say, you know what, I'm just going to feed the computer a list of license plate numbers, and we're going to let the automated system deal with it.
Yep.
It's not hard to imagine that, right?
And then again, too, you know, what if that system gets corrupted? What if it goes beyond its protocols? What if there's a failure? You know, it just, you're asking for so much.
What if it merges with an alien probe, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And they combine their missions.
The Spartan virus. We're all doomed.
I was thinking of the changeling from classic Star Trek.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
where the human probe meets an alien probe, and they're both damaged, and they sort of repair each other, and became a horrible monster.
Yeah, the V'ger.
No, the V'ger was when they reinvented that plot for the movie. The changeling was classic Captain Kirk. Anyway, so autonomous weapons. Gives politicians fewer steps between giving a command and people dying, right? That's not good. Fewer chances of someone with a conscience to say, I'm not going to blow those people up, right? That's not good. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be in the final segment. We've got actual good news to talk about. So, yeah, some of the stuff we get into, a little bit heavy. Final segment. It's going to be awesome.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're back for the final segment. All right. This is where we get to the good news. All right, what do we got? Give me some good news. Chandler St. Pierre. Are you with me, Chandler? Chandler has been droned, so it will be up to me to deliver your good news for our final segment. Anyway, let's see. One thing that I noticed that I thought was pretty cool was, well, they've had a battle up in New Hampshire based on Free the Nipple. So if people have been following the Free the Nipple campaign, basically some folks in New Hampshire think that all people should be treated equally. And there was an attempt to pass a law to prohibit females from being topless in New Hampshire. So that sounds pretty lame, and some of our liberty-oriented state reps got involved up there and actually crushed this thing. So evidently, this thing is no more. So yeah, they're changing it from the inside. There you go. Theoretically, it seems unlikely, but hey, sometimes sometimes you can, and I think this is incrementally somewhat better. So hey, why not? It's the headline I read from Free Keen said New Hampshire House Committee votes 18-0 to kill proposed ban on female toplessness. So, yeah, I totally approve of that. I think that's some good news. Now, the Bernie-themed beer, we covered that. That's not exactly good news. But, you know, maybe that'll help some Bernie people understand that there is possibly a benefit to the free market. So maybe they'll discover craft beer and decide that, you know, choices aren't such a bad thing at all. Something that I think we've covered before, I'm still excited about this, is the fact that a unicorn did not get killed by the highway patrol and the California Highway Patrol. A unicorn actually escaped from a birthday party. A white pony in a unicorn costume. Oh, okay. It's not a real unicorn. See, I thought it was a real unicorn, but it's not. So this is what looked like a unicorn, though, escaped a kid's birthday party and starts running down the road in traffic. Police chased after it. Now, it's the California Highway Patrol, so you don't know like when this is going to erupt in a hail of gunfire. So, you know, what starts as a kid's birthday party gone wrong wouldn't be the first time people ended up dead, or at least a dead unicorn could have resulted in that. So, yeah, I'm calling that good news, right? That is the unicorn escaped. Police said they reminded parents that children should not be tasked with restraining any animal near roadways, especially the large ones. So, wow. So police helped with some parenting, got a kid a lesson about how to handle a large animal near a roadway, and no one was killed by police. So that's some pretty good news. The other good news that we covered, Vermin Supreme seeking the Libertarian Party nomination. This is fantastic news. If the LP is smart, they're going to jump all over this. I really can't think of anything better for the LP. And if anybody says, hey, that, you know, they're not going to take us seriously, I got two words for you. Bob Barr, okay? Really, Libertarian Party? You nominated Bob Barr. I don't want to hear that Vermin Supreme isn't serious enough, okay? So, yeah, a guy like Trump, I mean, a guy like Bob Barr getting nominated, the drug warrior, the CIA stooge, the author of anti-gay legislation, voted for the TSA, voted for, you know, all the Iraq wars. So, yeah, Vermin, love to have you get involved there. That's going to be great. I'm going to say right now that nobody would be a better president than Vermin Supreme. So, yeah, bring it on for either nobody or Vermin. Either way. So, I'm going to hope that Chandler is recovering from his drone strike. He is in a fortified bunker in Maine, so it was probably just the EMP pulse took him out. Or possibly rutting mooses. I don't know. But it's been great being with Chandler for earlier in the show before he dropped out and being great with the audience. We will be back with more fiends.